here we go again.
Yeah, well, there was a gap between Latigo and Laredo.
Okay.
Even though we sold Latigo in 06, really founded Laredo in 06 also, it really wasn't until mid-2007 that we first drew down equity and kind of got started. And again, my goal was to stay in areas with the same kind of governance, mid-continent, Permian. You know the rules, you're heavily regulated. You've got tremendous sections of rock that produces. The Anadarko Basin is 30,000 feet deep, lots of multiple zones. The Permian is maybe not that deep, but lots of oil and gas there. We actually found a block of acreage in the Granite Wash play in the Anadarko portion that was attractive to us. And that's what we used to fund the initial activities of Laredo. We bought that with the backing of Warburg Pincus again. So that's the third time I've used Warburg Pincus as a private equity backer. We did our usual high-tech thing, shooting the best possible seismic we could. All of the things that we do that we think make better decisions. And we started drilling relatively short-length horizontal wells.
Would this make you one of the first?
Yes. Yeah, way first. Concurrent with that, I hired back the team that I had in the Permian, living in Midland. We gave them the goal of finding a new area for us to go lease acreage in, and they did in Glasscock County, which is in eastern Midland Basin, part of the Permian. We put together 10,000 acres or so, and we drilled two horizontal wells in a formation called the Strawn. Those were not particularly great wells. I don't think one of them paid out. The other one paid out. And they were relatively short laterals. But what we noticed was that we had lots of oil shows in a formation called the Wolf Camp and another formation called the Klein. So we took a core, a whole core, and figured out that that's a real target, a real exploration goal. So we started leasing some more acreage. We actually drilled a number of vertical wells trying to get more data. But then we started drilling Wolf Camp and Klein horizontal wells. We were a private company, so we didn't talk about it very much. So a lot of the initial Wolf Camp and Klein drilling in the basin, we did well before others.
The land that you were able to lease, 10,000 acres?
Mm-hmm.
Why hadn't that been leased before?
Well, there had been some drilling on it before, but it had been unsuccessful. We wound up with about 120,000 acres. Most of it had had some drilling activity before, but not a lot of production. In fact, we bought almost no production. We did ultimately buy out another company called Broad Oak that had drilled a lot of vertical wells and had only drilled one horizontal well. The technology had changed so fast, and the application of that technology was not universal. There still is a lot of just vertical drilling in the basin. But I think we recognized early on the economics of drilling horizontal, and we were at the time trying to drill 4,000-foot length horizontals. Today, we've drilled some 16,000 feet, drill down 8,000 or 10,000 feet, and drill out 16,000 feet.
Wow.
Our average is drill down 8,000 or 10,000 feet vertical, and then drill horizontal over 10,000 feet. We were kind of the first in the basin. We also figured out that the completion, the fracking, had to get better. So we were kind of the first in the basin to use what's called slick water fracking. We had to bring the equipment from South Texas in an Eagle Ford play. And that worked pretty well for us. Now, the problem with being first is sometimes it's better to be a quick follower and let the first guy make the mistakes. So while we did a lot of good things, back to your comment earlier, there's some things that in hindsight we could greatly improve upon. Our acreage is a contiguous block, more or less. For this business, it's pretty contiguous. In hindsight, we should have bought acreage further to the west. It had more oil content. But at the time we bought our acreage, natural gas and oil still had some parity. Now, of course, natural gas is everywhere, and it's hard to make it economic. But turned out to be a really good deal for Laredo.
You were leasing land that some people thought, why in the world are they? That's not oil-producing land. Am I laying it right?
Well, we knew it was oil-producing land, but most people thought it was uneconomic even to drill vertical wells.
Okay.
So we were taking new technology, even when we drilled vertical wells, and applying it to lands that had basically been unattractive historically.
That was the technology that gave you confidence.
Yes. Technology matters in this business a lot.
You're doing horizontal drilling. Is word beginning to spread? I mean, what are these guys from Oklahoma doing?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. We ran a lot of this out of our Midland office. We had boots on the ground. But it took the industry some time to go from vertical drilling to horizontal drilling. You know, that wasn't just universally. I mean, even though it reverberated through the industry, and other basins were drilling horizontal wells with success, it took a while for the Permian to really catch on to the horizontal drilling. We were buying acreage at less than $1,000 an acre. When you talk about mistakes, this is one of my biggest. When it got to about $1,000 an acre, I got scared. And we slowed down and then ultimately stopped buying acreage. The acreage values got up to, in some cases, $40,000 and $50,000 an acre further west of us. I don't know what price we would have had to have paid, but we should have bought more acreage west of us. Because I stopped at $1,000 and it went to $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. The technology of shale plays, where we're drilling these horizontal wells, what we've realized is while at a certain level, the geology and the reservoir engineering are the same, when you really get down into it and look at it closely, we're realizing it's extraordinarily complicated. Data makes the difference. So we were always on the shale plays, pretty much a big data company. We can argue how economic that was for us, but we took what we learned and applied it to our entire 120,000-acre block of acreage.
So you're in Tulsa, but you did this business out of Midland. Were Oklahoma companies getting into horizontal at the same time?
Yes. And we still had our granite wash play in the Anadarko here. We ultimately sold that, and we were drilling horizontal wells in it. We ultimately sold that because the economics of drilling in the Permian were just better. Capital efficiency was better in the Permian than our granite wash. I think as an industry, there was such a sea level change. I mean, it was just huge. There's been three or four huge sea level change in our business, in my business. You know, the rotary bit. We went from pounding it with a cable tool bit to a rotary bit. That was transformational. The first offshore well in Louisiana was a couple of miles offshore. I don't remember the details. That was transformational. I think really good seismic, 3D seismic, was transformational. I think learning that we could drill horizontal wells and frack them successfully was transformational. And in each one of those cases, all four of those, it took a while for the industry to adjust. But it became obvious in all four of those cases that there was a huge economic advantage in changing.
Where do you come down on earthquakes? The horizontal, the fracturing?
I don't think there's any question that there can be industry-induced earthquakes. We knew that in the 80s at Rocky Mountain Flats in Denver, where the government was injecting huge amounts of radioactive water. They triggered some fault movement. The actual fracking that we do does not induce earthquakes. I'm convinced of that. And you think about it, we put a lot of water in the ground, pressure it up, use that water to break the rock, but we have to get that water back out before we get any oil and gas out. So we have a week, 2-3 week pressuring up, but we pull that water back out as quick as we can. So unless you're fracking right into a fault, or something that is already predisposed to move, you're not inducing earthquakes with fracking. However, and this is what the media doesn't really want to focus on, I think, is that we have places where we've injected produced water, water that came out of the ground, here in western Oklahoma, north of Dallas in the Barnett Plain. That water comes out of the ground in association with the hydrocarbons. We've re-injected that water back into zones for decades, in some cases, 30, 40, 50 years. We've pressured up those things and they stay pressured long term, and that's caused some problems. So it's not the fracking itself, it's creating high pressure areas by injecting produced water, not frack water in many cases, produced water, back into the zone.
Wastewater, you could call it that?
Yeah, but it's water that came out of the ground. Now, what we chose to do at Laredo, just to be complete in that, is we did several things early on. One of them was we chose not to re-inject water into any shallow zones. We moved to putting it away in deeper zones. In many cases, it goes in on a vacuum, so we don't have to pump it. We also built a water handling system. I think water is going to be important no matter what industry you're in. As population grows, I think water is just going to be critical. There's lots of reasons, agriculture. In our part of the Permian, in the Midland Basin, a couple of things. One of them is the competition for our water is really alfalfa and cattle. There's not a lot of towns or people living there. We started monitoring the aquifers day one. We do use a lot of fresh water to frack with. But the most important thing is we've built water recycling facilities. And we're reusing about 40% of our produced water. So we're actually recycling, and I think every year we're going to recycle more and more and more as we finish building out the water recycling. I think it's clear that injecting water over decades at high pressure can induce, I mean, there's no question, I think. We just need to make sure that we tell the story because the fracking is such a short-term blip. I don't think it's really the issue.
We haven't had here in 2019 in Oklahoma the earthquakes that we had maybe up until 2 years ago. It's changed.
Well, and it's changed because we've been smart as a state and we've regulated those high volume, high pressure disposal wells. We've said you just can't do that. That's another indication that it's not really the fracking and the producing that's the problem. It's just making sure we're smart about how we disposed of that produced water.
Mm-hmm. Is any of your business today in Oklahoma now?
No, we're currently completely out of Oklahoma, except corporate headquarters.
Do you still enjoy getting around the roughnecks and getting right on the site and being there? Does that appeal to you?
Yes, it does. In fact, that's where I'm the most comfortable. As CEO of a public company, you wind up spending a lot of time dealing with Wall Street and other investments, and I think I actually enjoy that. But my first choice, if I had my way, would be further back down into the actual E&P part of it, working with the geologists and engineers and our pumpers and production engineers and the field part.